Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, Peter has opened an extensive passage on divine judgment, something that some Christians don't want to talk about, some Christians don't believe in, at least people that call themselves Christians don't believe in. And yet the Bible has a lot to say about it, and it really boils down to, who are you going to believe, men or God? What are you going to believe? What your fallen Adamic nature would prefer to believe, or what God, in grace and mercy and love and concern, has revealed to you to be the truth. Because denying something that is true is a very foolish thing to do. Surely we all would agree with that. And so Peter, who has been talking about false teachers in the first three verses of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, now takes up the subject of divine judgment. And of course, there is a connection. This is not a disconnected discourse, but Peter is saying that the false teachers will receive judgment, and those who believe what they teach, those who embrace false doctrine instead of true doctrine, also are in danger of divine judgment. And so this becomes a vitally important subject for us to consider carefully, prayerfully, and thoughtfully. And so please gather around the radio dial on this Thursday, January 22, as we move a little bit further into 2 Peter chapter 2, and can do so because of the financial gifts of our radio listeners. Well, the section begins in verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and he goes on from there, and I'm not going to read the whole passage today, as I did on the broadcast yesterday, but what Peter gives us is three examples of divine judgment in the past. Number one, the angels that sinned, that is the fallen angels. Number two, the ancient world in Noah's day. And number three, Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Abraham and Lot. Three examples of divine judgment, two examples of divine deliverance. In the case of the flood, God delivered Noah and his family. In the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, God delivered Lot. In the case of the fallen angels, nobody was delivered. None out of the class of fallen angels was delivered. And the holy angels didn't need to be delivered because they did not fall. So three examples of divine judgment, two examples of divine deliverance. And the conclusion of all of this basically is wrapped up in verse 9 when it says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. The conclusion is, God knows how to protect and preserve those who trust in Him, and God knows how to judge those who reject Him. There is such a thing as salvation. Thank God for that. There is such a thing as judgment, as condemnation. And that's what we need to understand so that we embrace Christ for salvation so that we are removed from condemnation. Now let's go back to verse 4 and take a look at the first example of divine judgment, which is the case of the angels that sinned. And I read the verse again, 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Let's consider the subjects of this judgment and the nature of their judgment. First of all, the subjects. Who are the subjects or the objects of this divine judgment? And they are defined as angels who sinned. There is actually no definite article in the original. If God did not spare angels who sinned. Angels are spirit beings created by God to serve Him, created by direct divine creation. They are, therefore, sometimes in the Bible, called sons of God, even as Adam is called a son of God, because he was created directly by God. The children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth that flow out of Adam are not called sons of God unless they are born into the family of God by the work of regeneration. We call that the new birth, and adopted into the family of God by God's gracious acceptance of sinners for the sake of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But by birth, by nature, neither I nor you nor any other human being upon the earth is a son of God. We are all sons and daughters of Adam. We came from him, but he came from God directly. I mean, there's a sense, of course, in which we came from God. We realize that every birth of a child is a divine miracle. But we're the result of a divine miracle, but of a process that God designed and effected millennia ago, and has been going on according to God's design ever since. But only in the beginning, Adam and Eve were created by the direct act of God. But all of the angels are created by the direct act of God. There is no marriage among the angels. There are no angel children. There are no little cherub angels sitting on puffy clouds and playing their little toy harps, as we sometimes see in the sentimentalizing of these sort of things. No, all of the angels were created directly by God to serve Him. Angels are servants. They are messengers of God, but a large number of them rebelled against their Maker. We can read about that, for example, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Well, verse 3, "Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great, fiery, red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born." Verse 7, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought." The dragon is Satan. And Satan has his angels, even as God has his. And Satan and his angels fought against Michael, a mighty angel of God, and his angels. In other words, there are holy angels and there are fallen angels, angels who sinned, is what we have described here in 2 Peter 2:4. "For if God did not spare angels who sinned," some angels did not sin, they are the holy angels. Other angels sinned, they are the fallen angels. They are demons, they are devils, plural, and they are subject to God's judgment. So, the question who is answered, the question when. When did these angels sin? And the answer is, when Satan rebelled against God before Adam's fall. Presumably because Satan was already in the garden after Adam was created. So Satan had already fallen, and presumably the angels fell at that time as well. Now, some believe that maybe these angels fell at the time of the flood and so forth, but that would suppose, that would require, therefore, that Satan existed as the only fallen angel alone at the time of the creation of the world. And though that is, I suppose, a remote possibility, it doesn't seem very likely. So it's far more likely that all of these angels sinned at approximately the same time. Satan rebelled against God before the creation of the world, and in his rebellion, because of his power, because of his majesty, because of his glory, because of his, if I can put it this way, charismatic personality, there were a third of the angels, out of however many there were, of all of these holy angels, there were a third of the angels that chose to cast their lot in with Lucifer, the Shining One, this majestic creature that God created, the most majestic creature that God created, and they decided to throw in their lot with him and follow him in his rebellion against God. And that probably took place for all of them before the creation of the world. Now, how did they sin? Well, they sinned, of course, by choosing to follow Satan instead of following God. It is also possible that there was an act of sinful rebellion that is described in Genesis 6, 1 through 4, and also in Jude, verse 6, that has reference to angels engaging in sexual relations with human women. Now, how that is possible, I cannot say. Did this come about by demonic possession of men, human men, which, of course, we know that the demons, who are fallen angels, can, on occasion, possess men? Or did angels assume their own corporal bodies? We don't know. But there does seem to be this indication that they crossed a line that was a very significant line and resulted, well, was the very definition of atrocious sin. They went outside their created order. Instead of being content to remain in their relationships within their created order, as God made them, they went outside their created order and crossed this boundary between spiritual beings, namely angels, and physical beings, namely human beings. Well, that very well may be what is being referred to here when it says God did not spare angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. All of this seems to be speaking of something in the past, and that's why I think that perhaps this explanation of angels cohabiting with human women, as far-fetched as it sounds at first consideration, may in fact be the proper explanation. But at any rate, the point is, God judges sin. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.